of the first. I hate to disappoint you, but there is a typo in the bulletin, and it is longer than two verses. In keeping with one of the dynamics that we've been experiencing over the past few weeks, we are reading larger segments of these stories so that we can get a better idea of the fullness of the story and the context in which all of these things are said. So I invite you to listen to the remainder of the sixth chapter of Luke, which is a continuation of this sermon that Jesus is preaching. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer also the other. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Or even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He also told a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, friend, let me take out that speck in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, who hears my words and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground Was Jeff already pointed out in the time with the children, there's a lot in this sixth chapter of Luke. Kathy told us the classical name of this passage, the Sermon on the Plain, which is also Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. I'm sure you recognize the similarities between this. In Matthew, we call the first part of this the Beatitudes. And then it continues for several chapters, and we call it the Sermon on the Mount. Here in Luke, we have a portion of one chapter where this sermon that Jesus gives is rather condensed, straightforward. We call it the Sermon on the Plain because it takes place on a plain. This is not a mountaintop experience. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. I'm sure we all had mountaintop experiences, haven't we? Those times when things just seem right. They just come together. We feel like all is right with the world. Or we've learned something new. I know as I look back on my life and try to identify some of those mountaintop experiences, some of them are actually on mountains. I spent some time every summer, and I've done so for the past few years, out in Rocky Mountain National Park. And I always come down from those heights daily, and then after several days of hiking, when you get above the tree line at about 10,000 or 11,000 feet, and the world just opens up. It's an amazing experience. I've had similar experiences in the mountains in North Carolina, especially around Montreat, which many people know as Presbyterian Heaven. Some of you have been there. Some of you go to the mountains in Colorado and North Carolina when it gets so hot here in the summertime. We have mountaintop experiences. And some of these are spiritual experiences for us. But here in Luke, Jesus comes down from the mountain. This is what you might call a mountain bottom experience. Jesus is down from the mountain. As a matter of fact, there's one place in the reading where he says he has to look up to teach. So I can imagine that perhaps he was in sort of a natural amphitheater type situation where he was lower and the people to whom he talked were a little higher. It says he was on our translation that we heard says he was on a level place. A level place. In the Greek, that is topos theanos. A level place. Translated as a plain, a plateau. A level place, a plain. And so instead of the Sermon on the Mount, we have the Sermon on the Plain. Or we could say it's the Sermon on the Level. And switch to a contemporary view of a level. How many of you have lived in an old house? I was looking back, Ben and I have lived in a lot of old houses. I'm talking old now. We've lived in a house that was built in the in the 1890s. We lived in a house that was built in 1903 in Oklahoma. Now that's early in Oklahoma. And we now live in a house that was built in 1959, which is pretty early for Clearwater. We've lived in a lot of old houses. As a matter of fact, a couple of those old houses we actually renovated. And we did a lot of the work ourselves. And I can remember asking this question more times than I could count. As I would ask Patty when I was working on a particular place in one of these old houses, I would say, do you want it to look level or do you want it to be level? Because if you've ever worked in an old house, you know what that means. Because if you actually put a level on it, it's going to look out of level. Whether it's horizontally or vertically. Because these old houses have a tendency to shift. And Peg would say, well, why can't it actually be both? And I said, well, you know it can. But we'll have to take up the entire floor, reframe it from the ground up. Do we want it to look level or do we want it to be level? And I think that may be a dilemma that we in the church have been caught in for maybe the beginnings of the church, maybe the beginnings of faith itself. Do we want it to look level or do we want it to be level? And I'm afraid that most of the time we humans choose looking level over being level. We want things to appear as if it's all okay, everything's just fine, rather than actually putting a level on it and seeing if it is level. And that brings us to another connotation of this word level, and that's the expression of, I'm going to level with you. I looked this expression up and found this little paragraph. It says, when somebody states, I'm going to level with you, they are essentially saying that they are not going to try and add any more words to spare your feelings or divert your attention from the matter at hand. It is typically used when the message is going to be hard to take, or the speaker perceives that the listener may not take the message seriously. It is straight talking. I'm going to level with you. In many ways, that's what the prophets in our scriptures do. I'm going to level with you. I'm going to read a famous passage from the prophet Isaiah. It'll be familiar to it. We read it every year around Christmas time. It's even part of the famous choral oratorios. And it's that passage that says, every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough place a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This thing we call the gospel that has come to us through the prophets and through Jesus levels with us and tries to get us to understand that this is the way it is. And that's what Jesus is doing in this Sermon on the Mount, this Sermon on the Plain, this one piece of teaching that dominates the gospel. Jesus levels with us. And he gives us a whole list of things that are hard to take. A whole list of things that Jesus kind of knows we're not really listening. A whole list of things that the prophets knew and know that we're really not going to do them. We'll make it look level, but we're not going to be level. Oh, we'll talk about loving our neighbors, but we won't do it. We'll talk about sharing our wealth, but we won't do it. Isn't it amazing that the main portion of Jesus in the New Testament we practically ignore? And in many ways, we literally ignore it. A lot of our creeds of the church, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, several of those early creeds, this is a very interesting dynamic. They limit the entire teaching, healing of Jesus to a comma. Our creeds say, born of the Virgin Mary, comma, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Our creeds ignore the life and teachings of Jesus himself. And we have a tendency to do the same in our lives. We usually think of the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, as for somebody else. We really love it when we can point out the faults of other people in this sermon, don't we? When we can see that speck in somebody else's eye while the log is in our own, we really do like it. And that is this dynamic of trying to make things look level instead of being level. Because one thing this does is it brings equity into our world. This passage I just read from Isaiah, that's what it's doing. The mountains are coming down, the valleys are coming up, and we are creating equity. When Jesus speaks on the level to us, he is creating equity. The last, the first, the poor are rich, the weak are strong, up is down, heaven is here. He dispels the illusion of separateness, because we live with this illusion that we are separate. The golden rule gets to the very core of this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We are each other. There is no separateness. We are out of creation itself. There is no separateness. We are all together, interconnected and interdependent. But in our Western rational world, we have created this illusion of separateness, that we are all autonomous individuals. It's the most absurd thought, but it permeates our worldview. How could we even imagine that we are autonomous individuals? Did you make the decision to be born? Do you decide to take breath? Did you create the atoms from the earth that become the food that we eat, that become the body that we are? And just basic stuff like, did you grow the food you ate for breakfast this morning? Did you make the clothes you are wearing right now? To think that we are autonomous individuals is absurd. Yet we hold on to this absurdity, trying to make things look level when they're really not. And Jesus comes to us with the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, and says, I'm going to level with you. When's the last time you flew in an airline? Yeah, soon? Pretty much everybody here has been up in an airplane, haven't you? And the higher you get, the more things down below get a little less defined. Even if you get high enough, roads disappear. Cities disappear. If you're flying at night, you see lights. But the higher we get, let's say that's like a mountaintop. The higher we get, the more things start looking the same. And the more we start thinking in broader terms. And then we come down from that mountain and we enter right back into our illusionary world that we're all separate. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is here, it totally dispels this idea of separateness. Because our ultimate idea of being separate is that we are separated from God. Again, an absolutely absurd notion. Because if we're breathing, if we're alive, we are infused with the presence of God in our lives. The Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, levels with us and brings us to a place where we must consider that there is no separation in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You know, we've had this same slide up here for a long time for our charge. And I'm wondering if we've gotten so used to it that it's lost its meaning. Like a lot of things we do in church. In 1968, for the first time in the history of creation, and the first time in the history of humanity, human eyes looked back from space and saw the earth in its entirety. A blue Now, ever since the early 60s, from the advent of space programs, started in Russia and then continued in the United States, men and women have been in space. Hundreds of them. And there's this phenomena that has grown out of the experience of being in space, and they call it the overview effect. Google it. Because if you do, you'll also find a great little movie to watch. The overview effect is this visceral, emotional, intellectual experience of looking back at the earth and looking down on the earth. To a person, just about every person who's been in our space shuttles and in the space station, they're asked, well, what do you do with all the time when you're not doing something? And they say, we earth gaze. We never get tired of it. And looking back on the earth, this overview effect reminds people that we are all together on this planet that hurls through space. We're all one. The overview effect. This is the ultimate mountaintop experience. But it's also what the gospel is teaching us. And it teaches it in veritable simplicity. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Take care of creation because it is your home. Don't kill each other over stupid things. You're not going to find that exactly in the Bible. The overview effect. We'll keep this slide to keep reminding us. We'll keep it up there until we get it right. How's that? Which means it'll be there a long time. We're going to keep on trying. My friends, go from this place and know that whatever the illusion tries to convince us that we actually live in the kingdom of God on a level place. And we are indeed each other. And God's. Amen.